So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 YouTube channels. Of course, you can listen to this podcast wherever you get your audio, and please subscribe, rate, and review. Do us a favor and send the pod to a couple of friends so we can continue to grow it as the season goes on. That means a lot to us here behind the scenes. Logan, you are in Madrid. You've been busier than I thought as we've been working through the schedule here to do this pod. I mean, they're not messing around. They're getting their money's worth from Logan Paulson over there.
Yeah, they definitely are. The whole crew is working really hard. I mean, obviously, like, we have our bunch of shows that we're doing, but then people are editing from hotel lobbies, and there's pictures of Tana sleeping in the lobby getting ready to do a show. Like, this has been a little bit of a grind. I think tomorrow we have a little bit more time, I'm hoping. We have one or two things we got to do, and then Saturday, obviously. So probably check out some museums tomorrow, but I have not been running around too much to really enjoy Madrid.
Did I see that you were a part with a bunch of the other former players with the team of some type of lesson you were giving kids or something today? What was that?
Yeah. So it was like an introductory thing to flag football here in Spain, and went to like a local, I don't know if it was a high school. They felt like middle school age kids, but there were high school kids that would come by and like watch. And just the environment, man, was incredible for a camp. Like, they had all the older kids watching from the perimeter of the field, and like, Tutty's doing dances and the crowd's cheering, going crazy, and every kid on the field wants every single person's autograph. Like, it was wild. And, you know, they all speak a little bit of Spanish and like English, and you're kind of trying to piecemeal conversations together. I mean, it was a really, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what the rest of the weekend holds, but but that's probably the highlight of the trip for me, man. It was really, really awesome. Like, teaching people how to hold a football, how to throw a football. They'd never seen one before. It was just, it was a really cool moment.
That's pretty amazing. All right, let's look ahead to the game with the Dolphins on Sunday, 9:30 a.m. East time kick, the morning window. Of course, it'll be 3:30 local time out there when the ball's in the air as the Commanders take on the Dolphins in what is going to be the first matchup between Marcus Mariota and Tua Tagovailoa. These two guys went to the same high school in Hawaii, St. Louis High School in Honolulu. It'll be the second time that two Hawaiian quarterbacks have ever gone head-to-head, because Dillon Gabriel and Tua Tagovailoa played earlier this season, just a few weeks ago in week 7. But let's start. You've watched the film of Miami. You're getting ready for this game now with the Commanders offense. They got the vertical passing game going a little bit last game and got out of their rut in that regard. Marcus Mariota, I think, was a key to that. Do you realize he's throwing deep passes, 10-plus air yards downfield, at the highest rate of any qualified quarterback this year? 42.7% of his pass attempts have been 10 or more yards downfield. And that was definitely on display in Kansas City to Terry McLaurin, and then more recently here in this start this past week against Detroit.
That's kind of unbelievable to think about, honestly. You know what I mean? It's crazy to think. And I guess against Kansas City, a lot of those didn't hit. And then versus Detroit, more of those hit from a percentage standpoint. But, yeah, man, I think he's doing a great job. Like, I had to do a film breakdown for Coach's Show, which is the game plan show, which comes out on Sunday morning. And I was watching back, and I watched all his throws, and I was like, man, he's doing some really good stuff. Like, there's the play to Lane, like, where he kind of steps up. There's a subtle pocket movement. The rush gets high. He's helping the offensive line out. Really reads the concept out about as perfectly as you could read it out. It's Tampa 2, really excellent, you know, post down the middle of the field. There's the extended play to Zach Ertz, and I got to give Josh Connerly a shout-out, man. Does a great job kind of eating that Aiden Hutchinson spin move there. And I just thought, like, playmaking. Like, he just had, like, a really nice feel for making plays from the pocket and being in time and on rhythm. And so, like, I think when people look at this offense, you're like, man, the offense seems to be doing better, you know, than the defense in terms of handling injuries. And I'd say Marcus Mariota is a huge part of that. And I also say you got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line, which seems to be gelling each and every week that they play together, which is exciting.
Yeah, and they should, right? That's the healthiest kind of position group on the team. He traded a lot for Laremy Tunsil, who's been excellent. Chris Paul is their choice at left guard. He's not in because of an injury. And then you've got Biotis, who they paid $10 million to. You know, Cosme was a fringe pro bowler. Connerly's a first-round pick. So they need to play really well. There's not really a good reason not to, but you're right. I think the continuity that they're getting is coming on strong. Back to Mariota for a second. I've been making this case this week because I really do believe this. It's not like everything's going well on offense. The run game still isn't clicking. They were averaging 14 points over a three-game stretch before last week when they kind of broke out. And the receiving position, which we'll get into, has been problematic. But Mariota is giving them a chance to win. And I really do feel like, I think my tweet was something like, if their defense could just be a normal level of bad and not like what it's been the last month, they're going to win a lot of games because Mariota is playing like league average or so football. He's ranked, I think, 15th among qualified quarterbacks in EPA per dropback, essentially. And this is a stat where it's like Darnold and Dak and Goff and May and Jackson and Matt Stafford at the top of the league. It's a pretty telling stat. He's middling, you know, for starters, I mean. So it's not like you're getting bad production by any means. And if they could just play a defensive game that allows them to hang around the way he's playing, I think you could win games. You could steal games.
Well, I think that's the thing that's been kind of – well, it's definitely frustrating about last week specifically, right, is Marcus, I think – does enough. I think the run game, it's not excellent, but it's good enough. You know, like they made enough plays. And I think, again, the only thing I would point to with the offense, and we've talked about this in the post game show, I've talked about this on Command Center this whole week. The one thing I would point to is that they have struggled tremendously on third down. And so when your defense is struggling, right, I think, and again, the play, like, again, when you watch the cut up, when you go on the film, you watch the cut up of Marcus Mariota, you're like, man, that throw to Zach Ertz in the low red was tremendous. Tight window, anticipates it. Zach does a great job making that play. Touchdown to Zeebo. The Deebo is excellent. The touchdown, the ball to Treylon Burks in the first quarter is excellent. Really excellent ball placement, tight window throw. It's like, those are big time NFL throws. And I think the one thing that I would say about the offense currently is that it just doesn't possess the football the way you need to. Like, so just to compare it to last year, like they did such a good job on fourth down, on third down, of staying on the field, keeping the defense off the field. And even though I think the defense is a little bit worse this year from a talent standpoint, especially after the injuries, I think you feel them a lot more acutely because they're on the field more. They have to have more bites at the apple at stopping the other team. And so I think in this situation, like, again, the offense is doing – people hear me say this and they think, oh, Logan thinks the offense is playing well. Is this team the Seattle Seahawks? Is it the LA Rams? No, it's not, right? But are they playing at a level like, you know, like the right level of bad? I like how you articulated that, to win football games. Yeah, I think they are. And I think that's kind of what I'm pointing to is like if they could even carry more of that burden, if they're just a touch better on third down possessing the football. And again, like I go back to last game and there were opportunities for them to go for it on fourth down. They're kicked out of those situations because of penalties versus the Miami Dolphins. You have to take every advantage, I think, because this is an explosive offense when we talk about the Miami Dolphins.
Here's a number I saw in Next Gen Stats. I wanted your help contextualizing and to see why you think this is happening. When Mariota plays, he is blitzed 43% of the time on his dropbacks this season, which is the highest rate among 35 quarterbacks who have dropped back at least 100 times. So it's not to say that Daniels isn't getting blitzed a lot as well when he's in there, because he has been. Mariota, for the record, is handling it much better, over 8 yards per attempt compared to about 5 yards per attempt for Jaden. Having said that, Mariota is blitzed at the highest rate among any quarterback in the league. Is that an indictment on feeling like you can play man against these receivers and get more aggressive? Like, what do you think that is?
Yeah, I think that's more of an indictment of the offense in general at the moment, not necessarily Mariota specifically. I think, and also the people you're playing, you know, I think Kansas City, they have a very high blitz percentage, specifically on third down, right? They played Detroit. They have a very high blitz percentage also. I don't know how much they actually blitzed in that game, though, but traditionally they blitz a lot. So I do think he's played. I think it's a couple things kind of creating that statistic. One, it's the teams that he's got his starts against. Two, it's the level of receiving talent they have, where teams feel like they can just heat you up and play man. And I think all of those things kind of confound. And also, I do think, you know, historically, Mariota's been a guy that you can blitz. He's going to hold the football a little bit. I think you see that in the Kansas City game. I think you see that at times during in the Detroit game. And I think, you know, there's a reason that he's not a top 15, top 17 quarterback in the NFL. It's because he holds the football. He doesn't always see it super well, but I think he's seeing it well enough right now. And so I think it's just all of those things kind of combined to make this weird that's quite frankly, that's a crazy statistic if he's getting blitzed that much. But it makes sense when you kind of look at all the context factors.
All right. So then let's get to the run game, because it sounds like maybe you're at a better place with it, where you feel like either there was growth or, to your point, like there was some value in the quantity over the quality. What are you seeing? And things are muddy up front. There's no doubt. It's not like they're popping runs like they were with Bill early in the season, but if Rodriguez is healthy enough to play in this game and you have Bill, looks like they've got a timeshare back between the two. You got what you wanted last week too, which was Rodriguez out of the chute to kind of get downhill and run into people. And then Bill has a change of pace and the speed after the punch, so to speak.
Yeah. So what I'd say is, like, yes, it's not maybe super clean, like with three runners, but they are seeing more heavy boxes when you get in heavier personnel, which I think was the right move last week. It's not going to be always super clean. Like, everyone thinks, oh, you pack it in, bring it in nice and tight. Like, that works in high school. It works in college a little bit too, because corners and safeties aren't as good at tackling. But in the NFL, everyone's a good tackler. So, like, when you bring that and condense that formation, you're bringing the safeties in tighter. You're bringing the corners in tighter. So the margin for error gets a little bit smaller, right, on both sides of the ball, right? So if you kind of break through that first line, it could be a big explosive play because there's nobody behind you. But also, everyone's in closer proximity, so that corner fits the run a little bit quicker. The safety's a little bit more downhill. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons why it felt that way last week. And I think it shows that delicate tightrope that every offensive coordinator must negotiate. And, like, I want to be in my best personnel grouping, which in this case is probably 12 or 13 personnel, depending on the health of the receivers each and every week. Like, I think when Treylon Burks is in there, I'm starting to feel better about that group. Obviously, this week versus Miami, it's going to be a little bit different ball game. But I do think that that's something that I want to see negotiated. Like, when you talk to Fletch, for example, he's like, we want to run the football, be in heavy personnel, you know, 3 yards on a cloud of dust every time. The problem with that is you're going to be in fourth and one a lot if you do that. So are there ways, again, to be more efficient in the run game through formation, through personnel, through run design, right? I think Cliff, I liked some of the things I saw last week in terms of changing his run design, which was great. And then, again, the big thing here is converting on third down, getting the back more opportunities, getting the defense tired, letting them run into tired defenses. I think that's a big thing too. So I think all of those factors have to kind of combine to support the rushing attack. I do think, however, that this week versus Miami, it's, I don't want to say it's a get right spot, because they played that defensive front for Miami played really, really well against Buffalo. But over the course of the season, they've been a little bit lackluster. You know, Jordan Phillips is I think he's going to be a good player, but he's a rookie kind of figuring it out. the Zeke Biggers is one of their interior guys. He's also a rookie. He's big, strong, long player, but kind of figuring it out. Kenneth Gratt is a rookie, big, heavy dude, first round pick, trying to figure it out. Like, you see the athletic upside with all those guys, but they're young football players. And so they, when you see teams, especially early in the season, there's creases, they get gashed, they're not setting hard edges. A lot of the issues that Washington was having. So I'm not saying this is a get right spot. I just think it's maybe a little bit easier for some of the veterans in the front. Like, I think about Biadasz versus Kenneth Grant, or I think about Laramie Tunsil versus Jordan Phillips. Like, I think those are matchups that they can physically win. And I think they can win. It just depends on, you know, whether Anthony Weaver kind of adopts some of these stylistic approaches that other teams have brought with a ton of movement, a ton of pressure on first and second down. And if I'm Anthony Weaver, I'm probably going to throw that pitch and see if we can hit it. If we can't hit it, I think we're going to see it a lot more. And then obviously the runs will stay messy. The run looks will stay messy over the.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
It's the game.
Something I wanted to bring up on the pod, you referenced, I think, last week at some point. It does seem like Dan Quinn has started to get more aggressive on fourth down again. And I know that some of this is down in distance and kind of just the luck of the draw, where, like, okay, are you across the 50 on a fourth and four or fewer, either in no man's land or like at the plus 40 or something like that? And there just might not be game sequences where that's the case. But even, you know, a year ago, there were times in minus territory on fourth and very short where he would roll the dice. And it's what I think the league is trending toward, and it's what I love. What I wondered last year constantly was, is Dan Quinn adapting to the times in this way where he's actually this gambler who loves going for fourth down like he's Dan Campbell? Or is the offense so good and Jaden Daniels so electric and unbelievable right now that he just has confidence in this player to get the first down? And it seems like it was B, not A. Because early this season, and again, some of it's sequence, but they really didn't go for many at all. If you look at the fourth down attempts at the beginning of the year, they had a total of 7 in their first 6 games. Now, over the last 4 games, they've gone for 9 fourth downs, including at least 2 in every game and 5 over the last couple of weeks. They were 3-for-3 against the Lions. Sometimes that's because you're chasing a game, whatever. But I'm just curious for your thoughts on that. It seems like to me, with some of the precincts reporting here, last year was less what Dan Quinn's going to be as a fourth down thinker and more the offense is humming and Jaden's on the field and nobody can stop him.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And honestly, one that I don't know if we've talked about it, but one that was on my mind earlier this year, specifically when I thought, oh man, that's maybe something they would have gone for last year. So I don't know if I have a good answer for you. I do think that, you know, if Logan Paulson is the coach, like I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive on fourth down. I think, that's just something I think is the right thing.
What's your logic? You mean just generally, like the way of the league now?
Yeah, just generally. Like, you know, I know everyone kind of has, oh, you're plus 45, like you should go for it, like blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm even thinking it's probably more aggressive than that at this point, right? With the new kickoff rules and like you kicking field goals, you know, from really far out, you know, like you see some of these 58, 60-yard field goals, like you're just giving the opportunity for the offense to get the ball at the 40-yard line and go score. Like, and I think like when you look at the analytics of defense, like the it's something crazy. Like you get the ball inside the 10, it's like a, there's like a 10% chance you're going to score. If you get the ball inside the 20, it's like a, it's like a 12% chance. And then when you get to the 40, it's like a 35 or 45% chance you're going to score. And so obviously like those, like, I think those analytics can lie to you, but I think that paints a picture of a scoring landscape at the moment. So with the kickoff return rule being what it is at the moment, like, I think you just want to be, anytime you're thinking about kicking a field goal, and it's fourth and short, fourth and moderate, fourth and four, fourth and five. Like, I'm giving a lot of thought to going for it because, again, like, you're just basically giving them a 45% chance of scoring a touchdown if you could field goal there.
No, makes sense. Checks out. One other area of the offense we haven't really talked about but has been an issue for them and they're trying to still improve in is at wide receiver, where Terry McLaurin's not going to play in this game again. So for McLaurin, he's missed after this weekend, 7 of his last 8 games. Deebo Samuel has not quite been the same, in my opinion, since the early part of the year. You can kind of look at the first 5 games versus the last 5 games for him as 2 different years. Are you seeing a difference in usage in – like we've talked about, you want to get him the ball with a head of steam and you want to get him the ball in the right matchup. It just seems to me like the explosiveness isn't quite there. Is it a heel thing or am I seeing this wrong?
I think it's probably both. You know what I mean? I think like there was the Chicago game where it's like, man, like he doesn't look quite right. That was, he took the week off prior, not the week off. He was hurt, obviously, and he didn't play. And I think the heel was still kind of lingering for him. But I think the last time you saw him look really, really explosive was in the Atlanta game when he was healthy, right? And so I think there's a couple of things going on. One, I think, is his health. I think the other thing is like the utilization has shifted slightly. Like you see him, you used to be really prolific at getting him these screens and these bubbles and these quick nows and things like that. He did a great job of maximizing those touches. And obviously recently that hasn't been the case. So I think it's a little bit usage, a little bit health, I think a little bit just general flow of the offense. Like, you know, we talked about how efficient Marcus has been throwing the football, but again, like that lack of third down, like you mentioned it last on the last show we did, and I think it's a really astute observation. If you can't convert third downs, it just prevents you from getting touches for everybody, right? The backs don't get touches. They don't get quality touches. You know, the receivers, they don't get as many touches as you want. And so, you know, Marcus throws for 200 yards, and I'm like, man, that's a pretty solid performance, but he's only got 16 completions in that game. I think he's got like 22 or 23 dropbacks. Like, it's just not a high-volume passing attack. There's like 27 rushes or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but it's just not a lot of plays, and I think that's something that we just – that's, to me, the biggest underlying metric for the running backs, the passing game, and again, obviously, Deebo's health is a factor there, no doubt, but I think it is multifactorial when you look at the landscape of this team and this offense. It's not just one thing saying, oh, he's not healthy or the utilization has changed. Those two things are true, but I also wonder if they're on the field the way that they think they're going to be on the field, the way they were against the Giants, against the Raiders, against Atlanta, against LA. Like, that's when the offense felt poppy and explosive and dynamic, but they're getting first downs. So I think that's also part of why the usage feels different at the moment.
Yeah, there were games early in the year in that stretch I'm referencing where he had 10-plus targets multiple times, 8-plus targets 3 times. And over the last few weeks, it's been pretty normal to see 5 targets and 4 catches, and that can be a snap count thing. I guess what I'm talking more about is just when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I think that's like, probably more injury-related.
His yards per catch right now are 8.6. His career low is 11.3. And when he was an all-pro in 2021, it was 18.2. Now, I don't expect that guy to walk through the door, but it's just not quite what it was early in the year, and that number's going down is all.
And also, I do think he was being, I think back to the LA game, because that was the last like kind of big game for him. Bubble screens, great. Little quick whatevers, great. But also, he got a bunch of like deep high crosses. He catches the explosive touchdown versus Atlanta. Like, that's not been in the repertoire, really. And again, like, he's not a guy, to me, when you watch him, who's like overly nuanced as a route runner. He kind of gets by on some of those more just like horsepower routes. And so if the horsepower is off, the motor's not tuned up to 100, like, you're going to have a hard time separating. So I do think that is a part of it, you know, no doubt. But I also think it's just like the offense as a whole is not where it needs to be to support his production too. So I think he's probably a little bit nicked up, probably not feeling 100%. I think the offense needs to be more productive. I think also going through multiple quarterback changes is going to affect that too. Like, it's just, there's a lot of variables here that are going to make it hard for them to maximize him. And hopefully they get back to that. Cause I think the offense, again, like you said, it's like a little bit of a canary in the coal mine. Like, when he's getting his touches and his targets, the offense produces well because they find an explosive element. And so hopefully they can get back to that.
Yeah. When they were really good early in the season, he was their best weapon and it felt like things were going through him. He, by the way, could tie his catch total from last year with a 5-catch game. Like, he's on the brink already. Oh, wow. In 6 fewer games of having as many catches as he had all of last year. But he's like 275 yards away from that number. So, I mean, he's a PPR maven. You know, he's catching the football.
Yeah.
But you want more chunks and explosives and yards, and some of that's usage. But you're right. If they have more plays, maybe they can run some of the stuff that was working earlier in the season. I guess if I'm going to, you know, call one guy out whose arrow's going down, I'll give one guy credit whose arrow's going up. And it's been up all year. But Laremy Tunsil, I saw this today, EPA per run by gap. So off left tackle for Washington's been their most effective way to run the football, and it's not particularly close. Off right guard is kind of number two if you break down their gap structure on EPA per run. But the Laremy Tunsil trade's been a gigantic win for them. You know, we talked a lot early in the year about Marshawn Lattimore and maybe being a bet that didn't go as well. When you're losing, a lot of people are going to point out a lot of the things that aren't going to plan. And I understand that. I'm not telling anybody they shouldn't. But the Tunsil trade's a win, man. He's been great in pass protection. And we had heard he's this white-collar player who's, like, good in the run game, but he's not nasty or whatever. He's been really effective. He looked at the numbers in the run game as well.
Dude, him and Chris Paul, man, like, watching them each week is a treat, man, in terms of their ability to double-team and get vertical and move people off the spot. And, you know, Laremy, he's always been a good player. Like, I played with him in Houston in 19, and, like, I was always blown away with the consistency of his pass set, the strength of his hands, the feel for the rusher as a pass protector. And, like, I knew he was a very good run blocker, but I thought, you know, it was more kind of outside zone, perimeter stuff, pulling him outside. But to see him in the gap stuff and just his quickness, and he does this thing which is really hard to teach, like right before contact, just sinks his hips a little bit, unroots the defender. I mean, he's a special football player. So, to me, like, I know that was a high price to pay for him, but, like, again, I go back to, like, you just do not find franchise left tackles anywhere outside of, like, the top 15 picks in the draft because they don't come up in free agency. If a guy is showing anything in free agents as a free agent, he's got the potential to be a free agent for a team. They re-sign him. Like, look at Orlando Brown. Like, he's a middling tackle at best, but he gets paid year on year because it's so hard to find effective people at that position. Like, one of the reasons I was always calling for, like, draft a tackle high, as opposed to someone that's position agnostic that has guard tackle flexibility, is because the upside in value for a left tackle is so awesome. So when I see a guy like Laremy Tunsil on this team, I'm like, that's fantastic for this roster. That's fantastic for this offensive line. And then the fact that they took that 29th pick and found a developmental upside guy in Connerly, who's also, after last week, I mean, he's a little bit streaky because he's a young player, but last week I thought had a very solid performance. You saw the athleticism. You saw him sitting down some stuff from a power rusher and Aiden Hutchinson and doing a good job with that. Like, think about those two guys playing together and what that could mean for the rest of those guys in the interior. Like, this could be a really special group once they kind of get healthy, get galvanized. And I think, again, it speaks to that Laremy Tunsil point, like why that acquisition was so incredibly important.
Yeah, he's going to be due for a payday, looks like, this offseason. All right, next, let's get to the defensive side of the ball. The Commanders tuning up for Mike McDaniel's Miami Dolphins offense and Tua Tagovailoa. That's next on Take Command.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills. but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.